Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Shkolim Daf Gimel. We're right on top of the Yomid, which takes us back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us that on the 1st of Adar, Rosh Chodesh, we make that announcement for all to prepare themselves for the Machzis HaShekel. We speak about taking a look at your field and uprooting your kelaim. And on the 15th of Adar, says the Gemara here on the top line, Mesaknin Esadrochem. So they send out the Shluchei Bezdin to look out for all the public needs. They fix the roads, Veserochoyves on the streets after a long winter. Everything is in disrepair. They have to fix everything up. Ves Mikvois Hamayim. They tend to the mikvahs to clean them out of any pebbles, any mud, and make sure it has the proper shear of kashrus. Ve'oisin kol tzarchei rabim. They tend to all public needs. Now, what does that mean? Tzarchei rabim. The Mishnah, the Gemara will bring for us a brisa, which is actually discussing chol hamoed, and provides a list of tzarchei rabim, and the Gemara applies that to our Mishnah as well. Elu hein tzarchei rabim. The following is a list of tzarchei harabim. Donin dinei mamonis. They get involved in doing dinei Torah, which involve money matters of a din in nefashes, dinim which involve capital punishment, dinim makos which involve the onus of makos, upaidin erchin v'charomim v'egdeishes, and they tend to all these things to evaluate, to involve themselves in redemption and estimation of the various commitments. Erech is when one says commits himself to give the value of so and so to hegdish. Chayrim is a certain form of Hegdish, and Hegdish is a typical Hegdish. So the Shluchei Bezdin involve themselves in all these things to estimate the value of different things, and if something needs to be redeemed. Umashkenas HaSoita, they give the Soita water to the Isha HaSoita, Vesurfinas HaPara, and they burn the Paraduma to prepare the Efer for the Tmei Meis, Vo'irfin Egla Rufa. And they take care of the Egla Rufa as well, so if they found somebody who was a mace, and they found him close to a city, that close to the city will bring the Egla Rufa to be Mechaper. V'roitz an Eved Ivri, who is a Jewish slave, at the end of his tenure, after 6 years, he'd like to stick around, so the Pasuk says, we bore his era, they do Ritzia. So all these things we do on Chol HaMoed. U'metarna Mitzamatzorah, we do the Tahara process for the Mitzorah, Mepharakin Esamino, Melgabe Hamay, the Rambam learns. It means that after the winter, when the water hole is already filled with water, and now it's time for, in preparation for the summer, they are Mepharak Esamino, they unlock the lock they undo the lids from the water holes, from the Boyreis, Vein Machzirim Oisam, and they don't return the lids back, they leave it open in preparation for the summer needs. In any case, we have a full list of things which were done on Chol HaMoed, which are considered Tzarchei HaRabim, and likewise by us. When the Mishnah speaks about doing things on the 15th of Adar, apparently they initiate all these processes, and why specifically then? Farshim says, since in any case, the Shluchei Bezdin went out to the cities to inform everybody about the Chiyuv of Shkolim. Since the Shluchei Bezdin were already found throughout the cities of Yisrael, they take the opportunity to tend to the various Tzarchei Rabim as mentioned in this price. Continues the Gemara, Tanmon Taninan. We learned over there, meaning in Maseches Moed Katan, we have a Mishnah regarding Chol HaMoed, Mashkin Beisam HaShalochen. Beis HaShalochen is a thirsty field which requires manual watering. We water this type of field on Chol HaMoed, it's a davar avid, it can get damaged, get dried up. So we do that on Chol HaMoed. Umetzainin es al hakvarois, and we mark the graves. We paint it with some white colored paint to create a warning sign so that Kohanim will not get close. Now the kasha is, why would we have to do this on Chol HaMoed, for instance, Chol HaMoed Pesach? Well, wasn't it already taken care of on the 15th day of Adar? Our Mishnah tells us that on Tezvav Adar, we do the Tzion al HaKvarim, we mark the graves. Loi Kvar Tzinu Me'Adar, wasn't it already marked way back from Adar, Betipata, the answer would be Sheyorat Shetev Shel Geshamim Veshatvay. A Shetev, a gush of rainwater, came by and washed away the marker which was put down on the 15th of Adar, and in that case, it necessitated redoing the process on Chol HaMoed. V'yoytze nafal kalayim. Now, this is again the brisa there about Chol HaMoed. They would go out to inspect the fields to see that it was clear of kalayim. Lo kfar yotze ma'adar, but hadn't they already gone out from the in the middle of Adar, as we learned in our Mishnah Shkolim? Why would they have to do it again on Chol HaMoed Pesach Tipater? You can answer as follows. Shoyza Hashona Afela was speaking about a late season year, in which case Ve'inat Smoch and Nikarim, and the plants were not yet visible and discernible back during Adar, so it was pointless to go out and check the fields. In that case, they waited until Chol HaMoed Pesach. So the Gemara's kasha is specifically on these two things. Why would they procrastinate on mitzvahs, on requirements, on checking for kalayim, marking graves? They wouldn't leave it till Chol HaMoed. And therefore, the Gemara kasha, the Gemara responded that perhaps, out of circumstance, they didn't do it during Adar in this specific year. It was done during Chol HaMoed. But the Gemara didn't really have this kasha on that list mentioned earlier. The Dine Mamres, the Nefashis, which apparently was already tended to in the middle of Adar, as it says in our Mishnah, Oysen Kotzer Cherabim. The kasha can be, well, why were they doing it again on Chol HaMoed? The answer would be that these things perhaps got delayed and there was some procrastination involved, and perhaps it got delayed into Chol HaMoed. But the Gemara's kasha was focused specifically on these two things, Itzion HaKvaris, which is absolute. You can't delay that. That's something that can create a pitfall for Kayanim or the Kalayim, which involves Isurim. Why would they delay things? And the Gemara responded, out of circumstance, it got delayed until Chol HaMoed. Continues the Gemara, Minayin Letzion. Where do we find a mocker, a source for the concept of marking grapes? The Gemara is looking for a mocker, Minat Torah. The Gemara will provide a source. First, we're going to go through a list of names. Don't get confused. Rav Brechia and Rav Yaakov, Bar Bas Yaakov. So Rav Brechia and Rav Yaakov, who was the son of the daughter of Yaakov. We find this in Bavli as well. Breda Bas Yaakov. And Rashi says his father wasn't somebody we wanted to get involved with. So he was named after his mother, Bar Bas Yaakov. So these two said in the name of B'Shem Rabbi Chunya, Divras Chuvr. He came from that town, Divras Chuvr. That's one version. He was the source of this Mokar Minatera that we're looking for. There's another version of events. The Mandama was as follows. Rabbi Yossi Amrla, he maintained that it was Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, in the name of B'Shem Rabbi Chunya Divras Chuvrin, who said this halacha. And the third version of events was Rabbi Cheske and Rabbi Zil, the son, Breder Chunya, the Beis Chavron, from the town of Chavron, of Beis Chavron, he said, B'Shem, the name of Rabbi Chunya, the Beis Chavron, Rabbi Chunya from the town of Beis Chavron. In any case, it was either this one, the other one, or the third one, who stated the following. So what do they say? We're looking for a source for this concept of marking graves. The Pasuk by Metzora says, he's meant to announce his condition to the public, the Gemara tells us in Ma'id Katan. One of the reasons is, so that they should daven for him. A person is in a time of tzara. He should seek public help, public assistance when it comes to davening. The Pasuk says, V'tomei, tomei yikra. Now, it could have just said, V'tomei, meaning the mitzvah, yikra should call out and announce his condition. It's a duplicate lashon. V'tomei, tomei yikra. We learn from here, K'deisha tehei ha-tuma, k'yrelach b'piyah, that the tumah itself calls out. This is a remiss to the concept of marking the tumah. Beware. It's as though the tumah is calling out. Tumah itself is expressing it. Look, I'm tummy. Keep away from me. And from here we learn that he meant to mark, he meant to paint the tumah. Put a warning sign so that the tumah, so to speak, is calling out to the kohen, keep away and don't come into contact with me. The tummy, tummy, Yikra, should call out, I'm tummy. The tumah itself should be calling out with its mouth, ve'yimeres lecha, and informing you, warning you, proish, keep away from me. I once saw a nice shot at the Yetzirah, that's the tumah. He's calling out to the person, you know what? I have a job. I was hired by Hashem Yisbarach, so to speak, to entice you, to give you nesiyonis. But deep down, I also want you to succeed, to prevail over me. That's really what Hashem wants. So the Yetzirah, the Tamei Yikra, is calling out to you deep down and saying, keep away from me. Parayish. Keep away from me. Don't get ensnared by my enticements. In any case, the Gemara here applies it to Tzion HaKvaris, that you meant to make it obvious. This thing is Tamei, and it's as though the Tumah is calling out to you, keep away from me. So that's one mucker. We have another mucker. Rabbi Ila Bishem, Rabbi Shua Bar Nachman, he said as follows. This is a pasuk describing days to come. Lasa Lava, after the Mechemes, Goy Gil Mogay, be a lot of Mesim in Eretz Yisrael, and the inspectors will go around to cleanse the land. Va'avru ha'ivrim ba'aretz, v'ra'a etzem adam, I'll say human bone, bona etz leitzion, he'll build next to it a marking. We learn from this pasuk as follows. I'm going to take it apart word by word. Etzem, right? He saw Etzem. We learn from here, Mekan Shemet Sinan al Tzomis, that there's a need to place a marker, even when it's only bones which are Metami. It says Etzem Adam. From Adam we learn, Mekan Shemet Sinan al Shidra of Gulgulis. Not only bones, but even a Shidra, a spine. Gulgulis is a skull. We learn in Mesechus Taurus that even a skull or a shed or glass on metame, because they're a significant chelik of the person. They show the form of the person. And that's why it's called Adam. So whether we're speaking about regular bones which have enough of a share to be metame, or a shed of a glass, it is metame and therefore requires marking. The pasuk continues, Ubana es leitzion. We learn from the word Ubana mekanshim, it's signing. Al gabi enved kavua, you meant to place the marker on top of a stone which has permanence, which is attached to the ground. Why? Im oimer at, because if you'll suggest al gabi even tlusha, that you can even do it on a stone that's detached, well, that's going to create confusion. Afi hileches umetami makamacha. Well, today it's here, tomorrow it can roll around, end up in a different place. You're going to treat this place with Tahara and that place with Tumah, which is obviously wrong. Therefore, make sure that the Tzion is something that has permanence, will remain in place. It said, Bona Etzloi Tzion, we learn from the word Etzloi, Lemokim Tahara, that the Tzion is not directly on the Tumah. By the time you get there, it's too late, you're already on the Tumah. Rather, next to the Tumah, like a gather, like a fence, before the pitfall, so that you don't get involved in the tumah. We learn from the word tzion, ubana etzlo tzion, mekan la tzion. This is the source of the concept of marking tumah. So we have two makayres, one from v'tame, tame yikra, and one from this pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel. Continues the Gemara with a brisa based on the above. We have the following halachas. You see, the point is, you're meant to be metzayin the tumah in a way which prevents you from approaching the tumah. For instance, if you have tumah right here, the marker should be placed alongside, next to it, on the makim tahara, before you reach the tumah. So you would place a stone on either side, mark them. This will prevent kayanim from approaching the tumah. Based on this, says the Gemara, we have the following halachas. A brisa says like this, Umotza evan achas mitzuyenis. What if he only finds one marked stone? Afa b'shein mekaimikin, even though this is not the proper way of doing it, because he meant to have a tzion on either side of the tumah, not on top of the tumah. Nevertheless, hama'il oheleha tome. If one hovers above this stone, he's tome. And the oime, I'll say, mace mitzuyen, it was a marked mace, v'yirosan tachteh, underneath, was placed underneath that, it was found underneath that stone. So although the chatchil is not meant to do it this way, he meant to mark near the tumah, but if it so happened to be that you find one stone, we have to assume that there's tumah underneath it. Ha yushtayim. What if we found two marked stones? Now we could assume that it was done properly. that the tumah is between those stones. Hamal alein tar. If one is mahil, he hovers above those stones, he's tar. Ubinayin tumah. But if he hovers above the area between the stones, then he's tumah. We assume the tumah is present beneath the stones, not underneath them. Suppose there was some plowed area between the stones, why would a fellow plow on top of a cave or on top of somebody buried? So we could assume there's no tumah between those stones, and we revert back to the original halacha, the first item in this brisa. We assume that for some reason the tumah was placed beneath the stones, or I should say the stones were placed above the tumah. And as a result, we say, those two stones are regarded like individual, unconnected stones, meaning they're not relating to each other. Bene and Tor, between them, is considered Tor. So you say in Tome, and Farshim explained this means, so you say means underneath those actual stones, we treat it as Tumah. So although we have two stones, but since there was some Harisha between, he plowed in between, we can assume the reason why this fellow plowed was because there was really no tumah there. He knew the tumah was beneath the stones. So we have to treat the stones as though they were covering a tumah. Tani went in a brisa, ein metzayin ala basa. Suppose we only have a basa which has exactly a kazayis. We don't make a marker there. Shaman esak ala basa. Perhaps the basa will decompose and shrink, in which case it won't pose a tumah concern in the future. Rabbi Yoiste bar Shunam, boy, he asked, Kumi, Rabbi Mana, why don't you mark it now? Sure, in a week's time it won't pose a concern, but now it's metame, has a kazais. By neglecting this basa, by not marking it, you're in effect causing tumah l'mafreya, meaning initially when it slides a shear, you're going to cause tumah. Wouldn't it be better to mark it? He responded, no. Mutav she skalkul boy l'shah. We prefer, it is better that it creates a temporary mikshel, a temporary kilkul, vali skalkul boy l'olam, rather than creating a permanent confusion, permanent kilkul. Because, true, right now it still has a shear, but in a couple of days' time, it will no longer have the ability to be metame. If we place a marker here for all time, then it's going to create a mikshel in the future. People will think, well, in a month's time, there's tumah there. And if something touches it, let's say a carbon touches it, you have to burn it. So sacrifice the short term for the sake of the long term. So conclusion, we learned about the Tzorche Aram, which is done in the middle of Adar. Sometimes it was done on Chol HaMoed. We have two makaris for the concept of marking tumah. Let's continue the Mishnah. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Birushoina, the Mishnah, Beis told us that on the 15th day of Adar, the Shluchim go out to check the field. USDA inspectors come to the farms, they see, well, is there any climb there? And they address the problem. The Mishnah will tell us that there were three phases, three stages throughout the history. There were three madrigas, three methods employed in dealing with climb. Initially, the shluchim bezmu arrive at the field, spot some kalayim in the field. They would weed it out, and toss it in front of the farmers, leave it on site. That was the first method, but it didn't work too well. When the ovrei avera, the ones who were negligent, increased. Now the Gemara will actually explain it in greater length. So this method wasn't effective. They tried another method. They would uproot the kalayim, but instead of leaving it on site, they would throw it out to the roads. When that wasn't too effective either, they resorted to an extreme solution. They would make hefker. The bezin would be geyser that all this fellow's crop is hefker that year because he neglected. He deliberately neglected. Ignore the warnings of the Bezdin. He didn't bother taking care of his kalayim, so everything's hefker. The Gemara will explain what led them to employ all these various methods. Amar Buda, Tani. The Brice explains like this. Amar Buda, Bereshoina initially, how your Urkrina Mashlichin Lefneim, Shlich Bezdin would arrive, uproot the kalayim, and leave it over there. But the owners were doubly pleased. Number one, achas, shayim nakshin sadesen, free labor. The shlucha bezin would weed out, menachshin, they would weed their fields. They didn't either want those foreign species of plants messing up their crops. They didn't want the beans growing between the bananas. So they were happy that the shlucha bezin did the job for them. That's number one. Va'achas, in addition to that, they were happy, shu'yu nenem na'kalayim. They could benefit from kalayim. They fed it to the animals. So after they weeded it and they left it there, the animals would eat it. So this wasn't much of a deterrence. So when these fellows increased, and Chacham saw that their method wasn't really much too effective, they figured, okay, we'll go down there, uproot the kalayim as necessary, but then not leave it there. Take it out and throw it on the roads, which will eliminate the second reason for a simcha. It's not available for their animals. Ava became hoyismechem. Still in all, the Chacham saw the farmers were still pleased. Shayim and Akshin said they're saying. They were getting free labor. And the Shlucha Bezin were weeding out their fields. So we saw that it wasn't really too effective either. Hiskino, they decided, Shim Afkirin, Klasa de Kula, that they rendered the field hefker. Oh, now they provided deterrents for this type of behavior. They ensure that the farmer themselves will go ahead and ensure there's no kalayim in their fields. Now, while we're on the topic of hefker, bezin, hefker, the Gemara will go into it a bit. Minayin shefker, bezin, hefker. From where do we know this concept that bezin could take somebody's property and render it ownerless? Tichsiv of a pasuk in Ezra. V'chol shel yovei, they made an announcement. Whoever doesn't conform, whoever doesn't come, l'shloshes hayom, within 3 days, batzas asorim, baskenim, on advice of the servant, the skenim, whoever doesn't conform, he's penalized. Yechram kol ruchushoy, all his assets will become cherim, become hefker, v'yibadil mekal ha'goyla, he'll be separated from the community. So we see that the bezin has the ability to make things hefker. Menayin sheip turin ha'masris. Now we know that hefker generally is potter from maser. If a fellow is mafker his nechasim, mafker his field, the produce there is exempt from turmas ha'masris. We learn it from the concept of shvias, from the concept of matnay saniyim. Hefker is potter from turmas ha'masris. What about hefker, which wasn't really a natural hefker? Bezin imposed the hefker on the owner. Is it also treated like ordinary hefker and potter from maser? Or perhaps, as the Chazon Ish explains, it was only a heter, gzela, the Chachamim made hefker, to the effect that you can go take it, but it's not really ownerless to the extent that it's potter from maser. So which way is it? The Gemara's going to try to prove that it's a true hefker and potter from maser. So how do we know that? Rabbi Nosson Bray, the Rav Yitzchak Bar Acha, Shamala, he derived this halacha, this chiddush, that hefker bezin hefker makes p'tur from maser. He heard it min hadof in the following brisa, which concerns ibur hashama. We know that bezin would occasionally add another month of the year to make it a shama mu'uberes. We call it an ibur yar. It has an extra, like an ishu mu'uberes. We expand the year. However, there are some limitations. Brisa says, "Ein ma'arbenes hashama, loy b'shvius v'loy b'moitzoy shvius." If it happens to be the seventh year shvius or moitzoy shvius, meaning the eighth year, we don't make ibur shana. The Gemara soon tells us because it's difficult enough as it is to refrain from avodas karka, from harisha, from planting, from harvesting on shvius itself. If you'll extend it another year, you're going to extend the iser and make it even more difficult. Affects the food supply. Therefore, Chachamim never made the seventh year Ishanam Uperes. Similarly, regarding the eighth year, the Gemara soon explains because of the Isur Chadash. Let's remember, the food supply for the seventh and eighth year meaning up until Pesach time, up until the Mincha Soemer, which was matted, a new crop, up until then, they need to supply themselves from produce grown back on the sixth year. So supplies ran very thin at that point. We don't want to extend and make it more difficult. So they didn't add the extra month on the eighth year as well, because the extra month would be the Adar, right? Which pushes back the Omer another month. In which case, they have to still supply themselves from the old produce, which makes it difficult. So again, Eim Abren is Hashana, Loi B'Shviz, V'Loi B'Motzei Shviz. V'Imi Brua, Harizu Uberes, if they should happen to do so, it works. It's not L'Chatchila, but the Eved works. Now let's think. V'Chodesh Echad Shum Moisef, that added month in Shemitah. Loi Potem Ma'asrasu? When you add a month to Shemitah, let's remember the produce during Shemitah is Hefker and Potter from Mas. So when Bezdin added another month, extended Shemitah, in effect, they created Hefker, which is Potter from Mas. Oh, so we see Hefker Bezdin can make Tur from Mas. Now the Gemara will challenge this right in a minute. But before we do that, the Gemara is going to just explain this halacha that I just mentioned. Why is it that we don't add a month to Shemitah or to the eighth year? Ad kedoyin shviz. Okay, we understand shviz. We don't extend the isur avodas karka of shviz for another month. We understand. Moitzoy shviz mai. What's wrong with doing it on the eighth year? Amar abon rabon shalil rabbis isur chadash. We don't want to add to the isur chadash, as we explained. We don't want to push back the omer another month, in which case it will necessitate using the same short supply from the sixth year for another month, and create difficulties, so we don't want to do it on the eighth year either. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Zeira b'shem Rabbi Lezer said the following: Hada dat amar. This is what we just said, and we don't add to the seventh or the eighth. That only applied in at a certain point in history. Ad shaloi hita Rebbe, before Rebbe was matir, lahavi yorach mechutz laretz laretz, they import Yarak vegetables from outside Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. There was a concern that people would be dishonest because the Yarak in Eretz Yisrael is Chayv Maaser, as opposed to the Yarak coming from Chutz Laretz. And they'll pretend, well, this is the imported Yarak, when in reality it was locally grown the vegetables. So it created an Israel ban on importing vegetables. So at that point in history, supplies ran short. And therefore, we don't want to make things more difficult. We don't want to extend the Shemitah or the Matzoy Shemitah. Aval mishehita Rebbe, lov yorek, michutz la'aretz, la'aretz. But after Rebbe rescinded that ban, he was mevatel the gzera, and he allowed importation of yorek from outside Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. He figured that the yorek coming from the outside looks different. It's a different texture, perhaps less fresh, and it's clearly discernible. You can clearly tell the difference between the outside produce and the local produce. So once he was matter that, we have ample supply of produce in Eretz Yisrael, like nowadays, they bring it from Chutz Laretz, it's grown by God. There's ample supply, and there's no concern of running short. If that's the case, when it comes to Ibar HaShana, there's no longer concern. He shviz, he shal shayar shnei shavuot. The same thing, it applies to shviz, applies to other years, meaning there's no difference between shviz and other years. Ibar HaShana can apply to all years equally. We have another halacha, Tanei Emi Abren, going back to that price, so we don't add the Ibar, the Chodesh Ibar to Shmiz and Matar Shviz. Amar Abmona, Hadod at Amar, this is what we just said, is only Bar HaShana initially. When the Beis HaMidrash was standing, Shoya HaShana Kitikna, when the years were properly established, meaning the Beis HaMidrash was standing, and Yisrael occupied Eretz Yisrael, in which case there was very little produce available on Shemitah and Matzoy Shemitah. Aval achshav she'en hashanam ketikram. But nowadays, when the years are not properly established, meaning Beis HaMidrash was destroyed and lots of goyim living around in Eretz Yisrael, in which case we can just use their supplies, so there's no longer concern regarding Ibar HaShana. He shviz, the halacha of shviz is the same as the other years. He shar shnei shavuot. In fact, we have a raya from a brisa, Tony, shall base Rabban Gamliel, the home of Rabban Gamliel, Ibrua b'motzei shviz miyad. They were in charge of the Ibar, and they were ma'aber the eighth year miyad, immediately after Shemitah, without any hesitation, because it was really after the heter to import Yorok from Chutz Laretz, in which case there was ample supply of food and grain, and therefore there was no concern in making it an extended year. Okay, getting back to our topic, the Gemara wanted to know whether when Hefker is generated by Bezdin, Hefker, will it also affect the Truma Masa status? The Gemara proposed the Raya from the fact that theoretically, or sometimes actually in practice, Bezdin will make Shemitah a year longer, which effectively makes the produce hefker for that extra month. And the hefker is potter from Masa. So we see that the fact that Bezdin has the ability to extend Shemitah by a year creates hefker, which is potter from Masa. Omar Abun, no. In Minado, if it's from here, less at Shema Min HaKlum. You have absolutely no raya. The fact that Bezdin could extend a year, is that a raya? That generally speaking, Bezdin's hefker is potter from Masa? No, there's no connection. There is special authorization to do so when it comes to Ibra Hashama. The Torah granted them authority to do that. Shomer's Chodesh Aviv. Watch the Chodesh Aviv. We learn from there. Shemreyu. Watch it and ensure Shiaviyu b'chidusha. Which means like this. Why do we add a month? Because the solar year sometimes overlaps. It always overlaps, but sometimes a considerable amount, because the solar year is 11 days longer than the lunar year. So after a couple of years, the lunar year lags behind considerably, to the extent that the tkufa, you know, the solar year has four tkufas. There's something called tkufas nisan, the spring tkufa, will begin way after Nisan, after Pesach. Pesach could be at the end of the winter. So we learn Shmur is Chodesh Aviv. The Chidush, the new month of Nisan, should occur when the Aviv comes, when springtime arrives. So the beginning of Tkufas Nisan, the solar Tkufas Nisan, needs to initiate and commence at the beginning of the Chodesh Nisan. So to ensure that, we have to realign things occasionally, and that's why we add another month to the lunar year, which allows it to catch up with the solar system. In any case, we learn from here, I mean, at Torah, Bezdin was required and obligated to add months. And of course, if as a result, you end up with some more hefker in the field because Shemitah was extended, that's okay. That's a residual effect of that Chodesh Ibra, which the Torah clearly authorize the Chachamim to do. You can't bring it right from here that Chacham just happened to decide that for the TLS of the community, this fellow stuff is Hefker, that they have the power to make it Hefker to the extent that it's part of her Maser. It's unrelated to the din of Ibra Shana. Continues the Gemara of Ahayda Omar Da. Okay, so from where? Vahayda Omar Da. From where are we going to have it right? From here. From the Mishnah in Peah, which clearly indicates that Bezdin's Hefker is part of Hamas. Godish Sheluka Tachtov. Generally, the farmer has to leave the stalks that he dropped, which are leket, has to leave it for the Aniyim. Suppose he dropped some stalks, but before they had a chance to come collect, he already piled up his grain, his bundles, right on top of that leket. Now, we don't know how much leket there was. Chacham penalized him. He shouldn't have done that. Godish, we have this pile, Shuluka Tachtav, which underneath was not yet picked, not yet collected. They didn't come by to collect their leket. Kol ha'noiges baretz, harein shalanim. The halacha is, anything that's touching the ground, meaning bottom layer of everything there, belongs to the anim. Even though it's definitely more than they should have gotten, it's a knas. You should have waited patiently until they collected their leket. Now, what happens now? Belongs to the anim, has enough leket, and it's potter from masa, just as matnas anim, leket shikapay, potter from masa. The whole layer touching the floor is potter from masa. Apparently, this Mishnah that the anim could just come and take the bottom layer and treat it like leket and potter from masa is following shita's b'shamay. This is machlokes in Mishnah Peah between Shama and Mesila, in a case where a fellow is mafkir or something, he decides, I'm giving something away, making an hefker, but only for anim. I want to do a mitzvah, I want to allow only poor people to partake in my hefker. Can you do that? B'shamay say, yeah, you can do that. B'shamay say no. It needs to be an all-encompassing hefker. Fa'anim, fa'ashirim, because according to them, where do we learn the concept of hefker from? From Shemitah. That's the source for the concept of hefker. You can make something ownerless. Now, Shemitah is hefker for all. Right? The esregim growing in the fields are accessible to all, wealthy, poor. And therefore, the concept of hefker is only if it is all-encompassing and a universal hefker. According to Beis Shammai, we learn hefker from the matnos aniyim, leket shikam peya. Now, although they're only designated for aniyim, evidently, hefker could also work when it's only for the aniyim, and has the same din of hefker, and is pater from us. Now, this price, this Mishnah, which tells us that this bottom layer was given to the aniyim, and they can take it and use it like regular lekach shikam peya, and it's pater from maser, is evidently following shittes Beis Shammai, the Beis Shammai, that even a hefker which is specifically earmarked for aniyim is considered hefker and pater from maser. The Iki Beis Hillel, because according to Beis Hillel, aniyim oichlam maasher. Yeah, the aniyim can take it, but they have to take off maaser because it's hefker only for aniyim. So evidently, this Mishnah, which doesn't say that they have to take off maaser, it sounds like it's considered standard leket and it's pata from maaser. It's following shittes Beis Shammai holds that even this type of hefker is considered hefker. V'amalei Rabbi Yosi, he disagrees. He says no. Shamanu, we actually heard Shupatur Mimasa Divya Koil, that this bottom level, bottom layer of grain which touches the ground is hefker and is pata from masa according to all shittas, even Basil, Mishum Knosa, because the Chama applied a penalty, a hefker bezn hefker, to make this thing ownerless, and it's completely pata from masa even according to Basil. Why? Because the hefker bezn makes it hefker on behalf of all poor people, wealthy people. But as the Mepharshim explained, it's as though the Bezen acquired this grain on behalf of the Aniyim and only allowed them to take it. So there are two steps to the process. First, hefker was applied, hefker for all, which works even according to Beis Hillel, and therefore it's pata from Maser. But then it's as though the Bezen was koinet, was zoichet for the sake of the Aniyim. So practically only Aniyim could partake in it. But it really has a hefker status, a full hefker status, even according to Beis Hillel. So now we have a riot our shaila. When this hefker bezn is a pata from maser, the answer is yes. Continues the Mishnah b'chamisha saboy. So now we're holding at the 15th of Adar. Shulchanos hayoshim medina. They set up the tables, the bankers, the money changers, out throughout the cities of Klal Yisrael, to begin collecting the machzor shekel. Medina here is referring to the Arei Yisrael, the cities throughout Klal Yisrael. B'chafei, come the 25th of the Adar, it's already late in the day, Yoshvu b'migdash, they retreated to the Yerushalayim, that's where they had their tables, they no longer were found throughout the cities. And Farshim explained this was also to highlight the fact that deadline is fast approaching. Mishi Yoshvu b'migdash, once they got to that point, it started getting serious. Hischil l'mashke, began taking collaterals, they kept a list of those who haven't yet contributed, and they took a mashkin to ensure compliance. Ask me a mashkin, who would they take a mashkin from? Leviim, v'Yisraelim, v'Gerim, v'Avadim Shechrarim, released Avadim, who are chayim. Avaloi Noshim, but not from women, who are part of a machzor shekel, the pasuk says. Ish, v'nosnu ish koyfer nafshi, only an isha. So an ish, but an isha is potter, v'Avadim, likewise, slaves who have the same halachas noshim, muktanim, they're all potter. But if we have a cotton whose father began at one point donating the machzor shekel on his behalf, you're not meant to stop. It's like a commitment, it's like a neder. It was Mazaki's child, as we do today. When we do the zeichel machzor shekel, it's also brought down that once you've begun donating for your children, you keep on going. We don't take a mashkin, we want to keep the peace. Then we'll go into this. So going to Tanakama, a kohen is chayiv a machzor shekel. Omer b'Yuda, just the opposite. Heid ben Buchri b'Yavne. Ben Buchri, this fellow testified in the town of Yavne. Kohen, she'eshoike ein echoite. Any kohen who gives, didn't do a chet, meaning he doesn't have to. give Masa Shekel. There's no chiv. But if he chooses to give, that's okay. You shouldn't think, well, you're not meant to donate your own money to the public Machzis HaShekel fund. It's meant to only contain obligatory payments. You can't just donate your own. The Chiddush is you could, because they're granting it to the Tzibur. But in any case, it's only voluntary. He doesn't have to give a Machzis HaShekel. Amalei Rabbi Yechman, Zakai, just the opposite. Like he, no. Ela kol koin she'en a shekel chayte. A koin who fails to give Machzis HaShekel, he's a chayte. He's really chayv masa shekel. Ela shekel hanim, do yishim mikro zela atzman. But the gehanim, they would apply the following drasha from the following pasuk for their own benefit to prove that they're pater. The pasuk says, v'chol minchas koyin, any mincha which was brought by a koyin, kol altia, it's meant to be completely burnt in the mizbech, lo yisachal and not eat. You don't eat a minchas koyin. So they argued as follows. Listen to this. The Machzis HaShekel fund is used to supply the Korbanos Tzibur. Amongst the Korbanos Tzibur, we have some menachas. Menachas HaOmer, on Pesach. Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos. Lechem HaPanim on HaShabbos. Now, if we have a chelek in that, then we're part owners of those menachas, you can't eat them. Hoil VaOmer. Shtei HaLechem. Lechem HaPanim Shalonu, if they're ours, at least partly ours. It's a menachas koin. Hey, Chnechon, how could they be eaten? Apparently, we don't take part in Machzis HaShekel. So this was their argument to exempt it from Machzis HaShekel. The Gemara will go into greater depth regarding the arguments back and forth, as we're going to see. A mamashkin saktan, Mishnah says, we don't take a mashkin from a katan. We have a diyuk. A mashkin you don't take. Holot boya toivim bo. We demand. We obligate them to give. Hadar the tamar, this is only said, b'shei b'shtei sharis. He's already an adult. He already grew those two bubic hairs, and he's already considered a god. Then he's chayv to give Machzis HaShekel, but since it's only midrabbanon, because only a 20-year-old is chayv, he's fully mature, he's a yotzei tzava, belongs in the army, then he's chayv in atur. But a fellow below 20, even though he's already above our mitzvah, he's only chayv midrabbanon, so we take it, we ask him for it, but we don't take a mashkin. Avalim lehevi beisaris. But if he's still before Beisaris, he's still full-fledged katan, loy bado, this wasn't said. Meaning, he's not even chayv in Rabban. Of course, if his father began for him, he's not meant to discontinue, but he himself, the katan himself, is not chayv. Ula mashkin, when it comes to the stage of taking a mashkin, ein mashkin in aval b'shev Beisaris. Even if he's already beyond the godless, we don't take a mashkin, because it's only with Rabbanon. Unless he reached the age of 20, in which case he's chayv in Atorah, and then he's a full-fledged adult, and the concept of mashkin applies to him as well. So we have three steps here. Up until bar mitzvah, completely potter. From bar mitzvah until 20, he's chayv midrabbanon. Beyond 20, he's chayv minatur. Now, Mishnah spoke about refraining to take a mashkin from a kohen and play darkei shalom. Now, what does darkei shalom mean? You're concerned about keeping the peace? Evidently, it's not such a big concern. We take it from a Yisrael. We force him to give a mashkin to ensure compliance. So why is the kohen different? Keini mas nisen. You have to explain pshat in the Mishnah like this. Ein mashkin es hakehanim v'derech hakovet. The reason why we don't take a mashkin from kehanim is because v'derech hakovet, we want to accord them special honor. They do the avodah beis hamikdash. We give them special kovet, and we rely on them that they'll honor their commitment. Therefore, we don't take a mashkin. And the Farshim explain that the worst case. Bezin already had them in mind. They granted them a chelek in the public fund, just in case they don't contribute. Amar b'Yudah heyed v'chul. So according to Tanakam, and Yechon ben Zakkai, k'vehan machayv machzis HaShekel. According to Rabbi Yehuda, and ben Bukhri der Pater. Amar brachi, taimod Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai derived his halacha, that k'vehan machayv, from the following pasuk. A gematria. We find several times in Shas, we learn a halacha from a gematria. For instance, by a nazar, 30 days because of the word year, which is 30. Here as well, ze yitnu, kolo ivra la pekudim, machzis HaShekel, ze, zayin and hey is 12. Yud beis shvatim, ze yitnu, yud beis shvatim yitnu. All 12 shvatim are obligated, even the kayan, even Shevet Lev. Rabbi Tavi b'shem Rav Avnuna, he presented as follows. Here's the argument raging between the Chachamim, who obligated the Kohanim, Rabbi Yudu exempted them. Kein Meshivin, Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda. This is how they respond to Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the Kohanim are potter. Because, according to the Rabbi Yehuda, the Kohanim can't have a chelik in the Karbanos Tzibur. You can't be machayev them to give Machzor Shekel, because, in that case, they're considered part owners. And that gets us into trouble by those menaches. A menaches kohen cannot be eaten. Chacham respond as follows. It's no longer attributed to the Kohanim. Once they add their Machzor Shekel to the pot, it is now considered part of that public fund. It's no longer identified with its owner. It's no longer attributed to the Kohen. Tzibur is an entity on its own. It acquires a new identity. It's a Tzibur's fund. It's not called a Minchas Kohen. In fact, the Chacham pointed out, we find many disparities between Yochid and Tzibur. A carbon Yochid, a chat, sometimes is Mesa, it's the deity, it loses its owner. A carbon Tzibur, a chat, a Tzibur, does not have that halacha. A Minchas Kohen, a private Mincha of a Kohen, it's called here, it's burnt on the Mizbeach. But a public Mincha is not. This money is public money. It's not considered a Minchas Kohen. And of course, they have to give Machzor Shekel. It blends in, it meshes in with the rest of the funds, and now it's considered a public funds. Chatas yachid mesa. A private chatas can sometimes have a din of misa. But ain't chatas sibur mesa, it's a different halacha. Minchas hayachid, crave a kol. A private mincha of an individual kohen is crave a kol. It's fully burnt on the mizbech. Minchas sibur, crave a kol. But the halacha of kol doesn't apply to a public mincha. We're speaking about Karbanos Tzibur purchased through this public fund. Even if we have some Kohanim contributors, the money is no longer attributed to them. It's considered Mamon Tzibur. And therefore, of course, the Chayiv Machzor Shekel. Now, we have one comment on this argument. The Gemara says that there's a slight kasha here with their argument, because they contrasted the Yachat of the Tzibur on two accounts. When it comes to the Mincha, which is understood and agreed upon by all, when it comes to the Chatas, Chatas Yachat is Mesa, Chatas Tzibur not, which is something not actually agreed upon by Rabbi Yehuda. There's a little problem there. The Kasha, we have a Kasha, Meshivan La'adam. You can respond to a person, Dover She'eno Yimoydeboy, with something that he himself doesn't agree with. It's none. She'en Chatas Tzibur Mesa. A public Tzibur never dies. Rabbi Yehuda Thomas. The concept of Mesa applies even to Chatas Tzibur. So this contrast, Chatas Yachid, that is Mesa, and Chatas Tzibur, which is not, doesn't actually work according to Rabbi Yehuda. So we have to delete that from the argument. But the second part of the argument is still valid. A Minchas Kohen Yachid is burnt completely, but not a Minchas Tzibur. So even if they contribute to the Machzor Shekel fund, it's now a publicly owned fund, which supplies the public companies. It's a Minchas Tzibur. It can be eaten, it's not a Minchas Kohen. V'u Moisev Lan. And the Rabbi Yehuda responds to the Chacham, no, zu, loy nidvas yachidu, this is not a privately contributed carbon, it's a nidvas yachid, meaning, if the kohen should contribute to the fund, he's a part owner. He still remains a part owner. He's a shutev in the mincha. And a mincha's kohen cannot be eaten. Apparently, he's not meant to take part. He's not meant to be a contributor to the Machzor Shekel fund. There's no chiv on the coin. If he didn't receive it, the Chacham responded to Rabbi Yehuda, no. It's not considered his money. Kimish and Imsel Tzibur, once it's been given over to the Tzibur, Kimish and Adavas Tzibur. It's considered an Adavas Tzibur public funds, which supplies the public kabbonis. It's not a Minchas coin, it's a Minchas Rabim, which requires no sreif. So, according to Chachamim, Koyhanam Achayiv Machzor Shekel. We proceed with another explanation, a makar from a pasuk which explains the two shittas of Rabbi Yehuda, who says Kohanim Potter, Chacham who says he's chayv. Ksiv kloivel apkudim. Anybody who passes through the ones that were counted, they have to give a machzor shekel. We have two ways to learn the pasuk, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. Chadam once said like this, called the avar b'yama. The pasuk could have said kol apkudim, all those counted. Pasuk added a word called Oiver. We learn from there, called the Avar B'yama Yitin. All that passed through the Yamsov, even the Kohanim, have to give Machzor Shekel. So we see the Chagan Machai. The Charan Amar, the other one, learned differently. Called the Avar Apigudai Yitin. Anybody that passed through amongst the counted ones, passed through single file by Moshe Rabbeinu to be counted, he has to give. As opposed to the Levim, which are not counted in that manner. Rashi brings a chumash that Moshe Rabbeinu approached their tents, and a baskel rung out and gave him the number of inhabitants. It wasn't done the same way as Klal Yisrael. They didn't pass by Moshe. So Kolayva Apkudim denotes that only Yisrael achayv matzah shekel, but not Shevet Levi, not the Kehan. Man the Amar called Avar Bama Yitein, one who darshan that anybody passed through the Yamsav has to give. Masayeya Rabbi Yechman Zakai supports his shita that Kehan Mar included. Man the Amar called the Avar Apkudai Yitein, one who darshan the other way, that only those that passed by Moshe and were counted in that manner, they have to give Masayeya Leben Bukhri, supports from Bukhri shita the Kehan Mar Pot. So conclusion, we discussed the Chiv Matzah Shekel, the chiyuv, and also the fact that they would take a mashkin, a mashkinin. So you have several categories. The Levi, the Yisrael, the Ger, David Meshuchar, they're all chayev, and we take a mashkin from them to ensure compliance. An Isha, Eved, a Katan, a Potter completely. A fellow who is already a gadol, he had two Sa'aris, but he's still below 20. He's chayev, but no mashkin is taken. It's only Drabban. We're going to get Kayin, we have Machlekes, and even according to Shita, he's chayev, no mashkin is taken with Pneakov. Now some Farshim point out that based on the last drush of the Gemara, that all those that were counted differently than the rest of Klal Yisrael are Pater, in that case, even the Levim are also Pater from Machzah Shekel. It's not only Kehanim, but Levim as well. Continues the Gemara, Afa Bisham, although we just said, Ein Memashkinim, Noshim, Vavad Mektanim, we don't take a Mashkin, we don't obligate the Noshim, Vavad Mektanim, to give Machzah Shekel. Avala Meshaklu, Mekabal Miyadim. But if they chose to give, we take it, we accept it from them, and we put it into the pot. However, Hanachri Vakuti, this was the group of fellows who went through a questionable gerus, and according to the Tana of this Shita, of this Mishnah, they're considered like Goyim. So these fellows, Sheshakl, even if they give a Machzah Shekel, a Mekabel Mehem, we don't accept it from them. Ve Mekabel Miyadam, we don't accept from them all Karbanis, except for voluntary Karbanis. We don't accept Kine Zavin, a Khan is a pair of birds. So the birds for the Zav, for the Taharas Azav, we don't accept it from them. The Kine Zavis, or for the female Zavis. The Kine Yodis, for the women who gave birth. Machatayas Vashamis, all these Karbanis we don't accept. Zaklal. This is the general rule. Kol Shenidav V'Nidav, Mekabel Miyadam. Anything which they were Menader, they obligated themselves, or Nidav, they donated, we accept it from them. We learn from a Pasuk, Ish Ish, that even from a guy, you can accept a Karban Nidav. But something which is not voluntary, it's obligatory, it's a chiyiv. Kol she'ena nidav v'nidav. Something which is not donated, such as a chatas, a asham, etc. Or a matzah shekel. A makam miyadam, we don't accept from them. But when it comes to contributing to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, they can't even donate. V'chein mefurish al de Ezra, as we see clearly in the pasuk by Ezra, when they couldn't want to donate to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, shenemar, it says, loy lochem v'lanu. It's not for you and us together to build, living space Lelekeinu, to build a home for Hashem. And therefore we don't accept from them unless it's a carbon neder onetav. Okay, so in conclusion, we learned about all the Tzor Charam, which was done on the 15th of Adar. We learned the two Mekurs to make a marker by Tuma. We learned about the Shluchim coming to the field and pulling out the Kalayim. Eventually they'll just mafke the whole field. We learned about Hefker Bezden Hefker, which has a din, to make a potter from Maser. We learned about the chiv to give the Maser Shekel and the Mashkin, which was taken to ensure compliance. Regarding Kohanim, we have Machlekes, and even those that are potter can donate, except for the Nochrim and the Kutim. Kol Tov and Atzlacha Rabbah.